Hey, greetings, everybody. This is Brother James at DontPerish.com. John 4:24 Radio. Hey, finally getting back to my series on exposing Calvinism, the tulip of Calvinism. Today I'm going to talk about the last part, perseverance of the saints exposed. I've been doing an audio teaching on the 5 points of the tulip Calvinist doctrine. Stands for total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and now up is perseverance of the saints, otherwise known as once saved, always saved. If you go to DontPerish.com, click on the teaching blog, and look under the labels Tulip Exposed, you can find the other 4 audios there, and this 5th one will be added to finish out my series on that. So on to perseverance of the saints. Once saved, always saved, exposed. This once saved, always saved, perseverance of the saints doctrine is the belief that once you come to Christ, you can never be lost, you can't turn away, you can't fall into sin, and it is total heresy, not consistent with the Word of God. I'm going to show you the total craziness, foolishness of this doctrine by giving you an example. There's a famous Calvary Chapel pastor named Jack Hibbs, and someone asked him during one of their services if a born-again believer walked into his work and shot everyone in a mass murder situation, would they still go to heaven? And this man, I have it on my testing of Jack Hibbs. Look up Jack Hibbs Exposed, either on Google or at my Unbiblical Teachers blog. And Jack Hibbs said, is this person really born again? And the person said, yeah, a born again Christian. He said, absolutely, he's going to heaven. You can't lose your salvation. But he's going to be in trouble at the judgment seat of Christ. So this is the craziness of this once saved, always saved. You can be a practicing sodomite, mass murderer, abortionist, whatever. I guess you could even be a Satanist and an unbeliever, and you're gonna still go to heaven. If we consider the source of this, this will help. I'm going to be doing a teaching on consider the source. Oftentimes with a false teaching, if you get to the source of it, you can go, oh, that figures. Look who's teaching it. This false Calvinistic system was really made mainstream by John Calvin. He was a reformer after Martin Luther, and he was a heretic, murderous-minded, false evangelical man. He actually agreed with killing people, burning them alive on a woodpile, yeah, if they opposed his teachings. He was known as the Pope of Geneva. He was very, very brutal. And he never repented of this. So how anyone can take this type of doctrine and truth from a demonic maniac killer as him is beyond me. But they do it. So this false doctrine that they teach, once saved, always saved, perseverance of the saints, the P in tulip, is propped up by many, many scripture twisted verses. I'm going to give you one example. John 10:28-29, Jesus said, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So this verse, they say, see, no matter what you do, you can't leave the hand of Jesus. It's very clear if we read the rest of Scripture. If you're in Christ's hands through faith and the gospel and being born again, you're safe from any man taking you out, from Satan attacking and taking you out, from God turning away from you if you're faithful and obedient. But we know from Scripture, and I'm going to prove it to you, that we can turn away ourselves. We can fall into unbelief. We can fall into sin. We can become reprobates and shipwreck ourselves. That's very clear from Scripture. So they get to this false doctrine by twisting Scriptures, and we can't let them do that and get away with it. If you go to DontPerish.com, go to my teaching blog and look up Once Saved, Always Saved, Exposed. I have many, many articles where I refute a lot of the favorite verses they like to use, and that will help you as well. So we need only go to the eternal word of God to refute this idea that once you're in Christ, you can never, ever be lost. I'm going to share with you some verses. It destroys this demonic doctrine of Satan and man. Let's get to it. Matthew 13:41-43. And the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, that's sin, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the righteous shall shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So here we see wicked workers of sin. We see righteous entering in. The wicked workers of sin get cast into hell. Very clear message there. We don't have to wonder about it. How about Revelation 3, verse 5? And he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and the angel. So we must overcome. That's endurance, right? Yeah, that's absolutely endurance. Revelation 22:19. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. Hey, you corrupt God's word, you're going to lose your salvation. It's what the Bible teaches. What happened to once saved, always saved? No, it's a lie. Absolute heretical lie. 2 Peter 3:17. Ye therefore, beloved, see that ye know these things before. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Hey, I thought we can't fall. Yeah, we can fall. Peter's talking about those that fall into sin and wickedness. He warns believers not to take that path. We absolutely can fall away into sin and wickedness. How about back to the words of Jesus? John 15:1-6. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you could do nothing. If a man abide not in me, and he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they're burned. So if you're in Christ, and you don't strive and produce fruit, there's no promise of eternal life, right? This is part of the covenant of God. We'll talk about that a little bit more. How about James 5:19-20? Brethren, if any of you, who's he talking to? Brethren, do error from the truth, and one converteth him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. Hey, if you're guaranteed eternal life no matter what you do, no matter what sin, how can you be in danger of saving a soul from death? Yeah, that refutes once saved, always saved. How about Brother Paul, Romans 8:13-14? For if you live after the flesh, who's Paul talking to here? The believers in Rome. Ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if we live in our flesh, the Bible says we can't please God. We're dead in our flesh. We're not going to enter into eternal life. We walk in the Spirit. That means obeying God and His Word. And then we enter into eternal life because of what Christ has done for us. And then our obedience is part of the covenant with Him. Very, very clear in Scripture. Refuting Calvinism as we go. Once saved, always saved. Demonic heresy. How about Romans 11:22? Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in His goodness. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. There's a warning. You don't continue in the goodness, you will be cut off. How much clearer can we get in Scripture? How about Brother Paul again warning us and himself here? 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Apostle Paul, picked by Jesus, striving in the truth. Yeah, he could end up a castaway. So can you and I if we don't endure and strive in the covenant of God. How about Galatians 5:4? Paul's talking to the believers who were going back to the law, right? The Jewish believers. Christ has become no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Hey, I thought you can't lose your salvation. I thought you can't fall away. How can you fall from grace? Interesting, isn't it? Yeah, another nail in the coffin. For once saved, always saved. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith. Hey, to depart, you got to be in it, right? Yeah. And giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Yeah, in the last days, we're going to see that. Lots of people falling away. We already see it. Yeah, the Bible says you can fall away. Once saved, always saved is heresy. Romans 2, 7 through 9. To them who by patient countenance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon the soul, every soul of man that doeth evil, the Jew first, also the Gentile. Hey, if you want to be contentious against the truth, you don't get eternal life. That's not the fruit that you're walking in the covenant of God, is it? No, it's not. Not at all. How about Hebrews 6, 4 through 6? For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away. I thought you couldn't fall away. Yeah, Peter says you can fall away. Or excuse me, Paul says in Hebrews you can fall away. To renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. Great danger of falling away, not once saved, always saved. And how about this in Hebrews 10, 26 and 27? For if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, who's we? The brethren, right? There remain no more sacrifice for sins. But you still go to heaven anyway? No, it doesn't say that. Verse 27. But a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Does that sound like eternal life with the Father to you? No, that's destruction because of disobedience and rebellion. You know, I gave you a lot of verses. There's many more. Remember this too. Jesus himself said, if we don't forgive a brother, we won't be forgiven. Yep, you can look that verse up. And he said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. Does that sound like eternal security, once saved, always saved to you? No, it's not. And it's not what God's word teaches. You got to go in and cherry pick, proof text, a few verses out, and build this monstrosity of a satanic, man-made, easy-believe gospel. But it doesn't match up to God's word. When you weigh the evidence and you rightly divide Holy Scripture, it's easy to see that once saved, always saved is nothing but a lie. It really, you need to know this, it really hinges off the heresy that starts the tulip, total depravity, meaning you're so evil, wicked, rotten, and debased, you can't even ever choose to do anything good. And so if you can't ever choose to do anything good, then you can't do anything to maintain or hold on to your salvation. Well, that's a lie because the Bible says, choose this day whom you'll serve, right? Yeah, it does. And then the Bible tells us, I read those scriptures to you, not to fall away, to endure. If you look at the gospel at don'tperish.com, give you tons of scriptures to back up the biblical gospel. So that's how they really pull off this once saved, always saved, that you're so depraved, you can't do anything. A famous false teacher once said, you didn't do anything to gain your salvation and you can't do anything to lose it. That is absolutely lies from Satan. Scripture proves that over and over. The Bible teaches we are to walk in the gospel. It's a covenant of Christ's blood. by faith in him and his finished work, his perfect righteousness we need. Repentance, changing our mind and our ways to seek after the kingdom of God. We get new life, new heart, new mind, glory to God. Which leads us to obeying in holiness and enduring and walking out this salvation race, faith race, till we die or he comes for us. It's not a one-time act. It's not a raise your hand, say a prayer, get dipped in water. Baptism is good, but that does not save us. Paul tells us, as does Jesus, that we are to strive. Jesus said in Luke 13:24, strive to enter into the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Doesn't sound so easy, does it? Just raise your hand and you're in no matter what, right? And Paul said in Philippians 2:12, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Does that sound like you're in with a hand raise or a prayer or a baptism and you can't lose it no matter what? No. No, this is a serious, serious thing. And I like 1 Peter 4:18-19. Peter really levels it here. And if the righteous are scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wait a minute. So this doctrine of false man-made Calvinism says that you can come to faith and you can't lose your salvation. No matter how much you sin, no matter how you live, you can't lose it. But Peter says the righteous, and then where will the godly and the sinner appear? Peter's making a distinction between God's true godly people and the ungodly and the sinner. Yeah, that's because when you're born again, you really are changed and you desire holiness and obedience and keeping God's word, not just a ticket to heaven, get your card stamped so you make sure you're going. That's just basically what they're doing here. These once saved, always saved heretics. I should finish 1 Peter 4. I read 18. Here's 19. I'll read it all again. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit to keeping their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator. You see faith and works at work here in this blood covenant? Yeah, faith and works. Not faith alone, not grace alone. Faith and works absolutely go together. These once saved, always saved heretics will even tell you that the husband and wife, Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5, that God killed over one lie, yeah, they went to heaven. Yeah, that's how crazy, foolish, and ridiculous this doctrine really is. If you just read the New Testament word and you had no knowledge of this once saved, always saved, this tulip, this Calvinism, you'll never find it on your own. You'll never pluck those verses out by themselves. It's a lot like pagan Christmas, pagan Easter. You would never invent it on your own. Man and Satan had to conjure up these things, Colossians 2:8, right? Philosophies and traditions of men to deceive people and pass them down to them. That's what's happened. So if you just read the scriptures and test everything to it, you won't be deceived. Trust in the Holy Scriptures, and I encourage you to glean all of its truth as you study. We're here to help you. And you will never believe in once saved, always saved. You'll never believe in the tulip doctrine, the 5 points of the tulip, or all the other tenets of Calvinism, which is all different flavors and different thoughts and different ideas. God has always had covenants with man, and they always had conditions. You can at any time violate the covenant. You can leave the covenant. You can destroy the covenant, just like a marriage. That's what makes a marriage so special. Husband and wife, each wanting to be in it, each striving to hold it together, each faithful to each other, each doing their part. What a beautiful thing it is. If it was guaranteed, and no matter how much the husband cheated or the wife cheated, it would never be broken, it wouldn't be a very special covenant, would it? No. It would be mockery. And that's what people do with this once saved, always saved. We must be diligent, saints, and strive, just as Jesus said, strive to enter in. And it's all because of what he did for us, his death, burial, and resurrection, and what he's doing in us. That's why we strive. We're not working our way to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. You ruined your perfect righteousness, and so did I. We need Christ's perfect righteousness. And then the fruit we're in covenant with him is we strive in holiness to obey and glorify him. Ephesians 2 says we're saved for good works, not to sit around and get our card stamped to go to heaven while we live worldly and just do Sunday churchianity or live any way we want. These false doctrines of men are clearly what Paul and Jesus warned about in the last days. False teachers, tickling, fleshy, easy believe ears. Don't let it deceive you. Jesus did his part, right? He said, it is finished. That's his perfect righteousness. We need it. But we must do our part of the covenant. We have a part to play. Faithfulness, enduring in holiness because of what he's doing in us. Bearing much fruit. Amen. I leave you with this terrifying verse. It's one of my favorites to warn people. And it tells us what we're to be doing. Not just sitting around claiming eternal life as we do churchianity or live like the world and we don't worry about avoiding sin and we're worldly like most of the Calvinists I know. 2 Thessalonians 1:8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Obey the gospel. I guess there's something to obey, isn't there? It's not just what Jesus did, is it? No, we have our part to play. The gospel, the saving gospel, calls us to a saving faith in his finished work. We can't get there without his perfect righteousness. Repentance, change your mind, change your ways. God sees a willing vessel, gives you a new heart and new mind. The fruit, Jesus said you'll bear much fruit or get cut off, is holiness and obedience, obeying what he's commanded in the scriptures. If you're born of God and you don't want to obey what God's word teaches from how you talk, how you dress, how you act, who you associate with, how you preach, how you live, if you don't want to obey, that's not the fruit that God's in you. You're rebellious. And Romans 2 talked about that. Being contentious, not a good thing. You're going to be cut off. All right? Obedience and holiness and enduring in the faith. It is not an easy thing. This is not an easy race. It's a free gift because Christ made the way as a ransom for us, but it is not easy. That's why Jesus said strive. Paul said fear and trembling. Peter said if the righteous barely be saved. Here's the key. We're already promised the final victory in the end. Jesus defeated death. He shed his blood. What a glorious thing. But you know what? We must walk through the battles for his glory, preaching the gospel, hoping to take others with us, enduring in our saving faith as he works his will in our lives. That's part of the covenant that we're in. We're in a Matthew 26 blood covenant with Christ. He did his part. We're walking in his perfect righteousness. I can't get there without him, but I'm going to strive in holiness and obedience to glorify my God, to preach the gospel, to keep his word as fruit that I know him. And as Jesus said, do your good works that other men may see, that your Father may be glorified. God did not save us just to take us to heaven. That's a big part. That's a big reward. He saved us to be a peculiar people, bought us with Jesus' blood so that we could be workers while we're here on earth and glorify him. That's why he created man to glorify him. Most people just want their card stamp to go to heaven as they live and glorify themselves. That's not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So you strive on through those battles. The victory ultimately has already been won by Jesus. He said it. It is finished. He did his part. You must strive and do yours. Strive on, saints. Reject TULIP. Reject Calvinism. Once saved, always saved. It is heresy, not worthy of our holy God and his glorious word. I hope this teaching exposing perseverance of the saints, once saved, always saved, edifies you. Again, go to don'tperish.com, go to the teaching blog, look up TULIP Exposed. This audio will be there, and all five of them are there to help you walk in the truth. And maybe, if you know some TULIP Calvinists, once saved, always saved people, send them the link. Have them contact me if they're men or if they're women and they're single and they'd have no headship. I would love to talk to people about the things of God rightly divide the word of God so they can come out of the sin, the heresy, and the false ways and glorify our Father in heaven. He's such a good, gracious, loving, merciful, just, holy, righteous God. What a mockery they make of his truth and his word with this demonic doctrine of once saved, always saved. Reject it. Hold fast to the faithful word once delivered to the saints. This has been Brother James. We love you all. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. Every day pouring out at this teaching blog. Resting up for a while, working on some projects on the homestead, then headed out again, Lord willing, to preach the gospel all over this dark country. Till next time, have a glorious day. May God be praised.